Again, thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out, but first sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of Marcus Whitman's Saving Oregon, just not from the British. This story was first published on October 4th, 2010, under the headline, Marcus Whitman Sought to Save Oregon, but Not from the British. Here we go. Just about everybody remembers from third grade civics class the story of Paul Revere's midnight ride. And most people have since learned that the ride was a bit less dramatic than it was portrayed in the famous poem about it. Oregon has a similar legend from its early days in the stretched story of how Marcus Whitman saved the state. Now, Marcus Whitman was a missionary who, with his equally famous wife Narcissa, established four outposts in the Oregon country in 1836, before it was even officially a territory, for purposes of ministering to the Native Americans here. This went pretty well until a Caucasian guest at the mission came down with German measles, and the illness got transmitted somehow to the Indians. It was devastating for them, killing roughly 9 out of 10, one of the few occasions when the word decimate can be used for real, literally. Shocked and horrified, the surviving natives, those who had not yet been touched by the disease, rose up and wiped out the Whitman mission at Walla Walla in 1847, killing the Whitmans and everyone else. In the process, of course, they probably exposed themselves to the measles, which is more than anything else responsible for how, quote, peacefully Oregon was settled by immigrants. But the legend. According to this tall tale, Whitman realized in 1842 that the British were about to make a play for full ownership of the Oregon country, which had been held under joint occupancy treaties dating back to the War of 1812. The crux of the problem, there were more Brits in the area than Americans. What was needed, the Whitman of the legend presciently knew, was a giant torrent of covered wagons crossing the continent and packing the state with American settlers who could in turn turn the tables on those wicked, plotting British. So, in the dead of winter, the legend continues, Whitman set out to traverse what would soon become known as the Oregon Trail, racing to alert President Tyler that the Oregon country was about to be lost to Britain unless he could get a bunch of Americans on the road west. Despite the well-intentioned obstructionism of Daniel Webster, Tyler leaped to his feet, seized the presidential bugle, and blew a stirring call to arms. Whitman set about a patriotic frenzy of pamphleteering and public speaking to assemble a mighty armada of prairie schooners stuffed with American settlers, and the next thing you knew, Whitman was returning in triumph at the head of this massive covered wagon armada, leading thousands of rugged American pioneers to Oregon like a new Moses and foiling the machinations of the British pharaohs. That's how Marcus Whitman saved Oregon, the legend says. You will have gathered by now that I don't quite concur. The truth of the matter turns out that the story was purely made in Oregon, probably as the fruit of a coincidence and some fanciful guesswork. Whitman did, in fact, go back east in the dead of winter. But it was to argue against a plan to close three of his four Northwest missions, not to urge the Americanization of Oregon. So far as I've been able to document, he never met with the president and made no organized effort to inspire emigrants, although he was enthusiastically supportive of them and of the settlement process. But it's easy to see how the myth took hold. After all, it's quite true that the British were hoping to take over. It's also true that the very spring after Whitman's dramatic wintertime voyage, the first big wave of covered wagons started over the continent on the Oregon Trail. What had been a trickle became a torrent of American settlers who quickly made any British claim on Oregon impossible to pursue. However, Whitman really did return with a massive party of covered wagons. He was a trained physician, so his services were in demand. After all, why would anyone travel across the Oregon Trail alone if he could help it? So for the beleaguered Americans in the Oregon country, it must have looked, in retrospect at least, a lot like a case of Whitman bringing the cavalry. When, shortly after his return, Whitman died in the, quote, Whitman Massacre, it was easy to interpret that as influenced by British vengefulness. The British, as traders rather than settlers, had much better relations with the Indians than the Americans did. Stuart Holbrook suggests that the myth of Whitman's salvation of Oregon was crafted by other members of the mission outpost in an effort to get a cash indemnity from the federal government. This scenario seems unlikely. After all, the legend tells of Whitman doing a lot of lobbying in Washington and other areas of the East, and no sensible person would try to sell a phony story to people who can fact-check it by simply asking neighbors about it. It's far more likely that the other missionaries had nothing to do with making the myth and simply used it, believing it to be true, to bolster their case. Marcus Whitman, a man of God who died in his effort to share his faith with others, might not have appreciated having his legend repurposed from Christian martyr to American patriot, but in the light of history, that's pretty much what happened. That's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website, the anchor page, which is offbeatoregon.com. There's about 175 columns going back to 2008 when I first started writing these, plus links to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, to the Facebook page, and to the Twitter feed. There's even a link to the Amazon page for my book, Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, which came out this month. The website is also where you'll find full citations for the sources of this story. Sources for today's episode include Oliver W. Nixon, Stuart Holbrook, and Bill Gulick. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by Atlas String Band, written by Carmen Ficarra. All these columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details, once again, at offbeatoregon.com/cc. Coming to Corvallis anytime soon? Drop me a line and let's grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. That is it for today. So thanks for listening, and have a great day.